Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From Lower Manhattan, the center of the financial world, this is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning. I'm Jeff Greenfield, joined today by our regular contributor, Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine, and by Susan Wolf Ditkoff. She's a partner at the Bridgespan Group. That's an organization that consults with philanthropists, foundations, and nonprofits. Speaking of which, there are only a few days left until the end of 2012 and the chance to make a charitable donation in time to take advantage of tax breaks. According to Giving USA Foundation, 30% of giving happens this month, 10% in just the last 2 days of the year. There might be even more activity this weekend as Washington considers capping or eliminating the charitable deduction as part of those fiscal cliff talks. Susan, you've worked with some really big donors. I mean, we're talking millions of dollars worth. Nick Kristof in Thursday's New York Times says that giving among the wealthy has become cool. Are you seeing that this year in philanthropic giving?
Absolutely. I think there's an exploding interest right now in philanthropy. Americans have always been generous in times of crisis, and that's been shown this year with Sandy and other events. And historically, the wealthy have been generous. But philanthropy now is fundamentally shifting in some important ways, but most notably the fact that the old model of learn, earn, return is disappearing. So if you think about the mid-20th century when people believed they needed to get their education, learn, make their fortune, and then maybe endow a foundation at their death, now a growing crop of wealthy business leaders are either leaving at the height of their careers to dedicate themselves to philanthropy, or they're engaging pretty deeply alongside their high-powered private sector careers. And they're blending their values and their beliefs with how they spend their time, how they spend their money. And that's something that was pretty much unimaginable about 20 years ago.
Yeah, we're seeing certainly that with Bill Gates and now Warren Buffett. But Rana, this raises an interesting question because some of the philanthropists that Susan works with talk about a different metric, to use that cliche. They want to see results. They want to have measurable ways to know what their money's doing. But if you're talking about something that's very hard to quantify, ending homelessness or really fixing illiteracy, let's say, is that a realistic notion?
Well, I think it's a really great question. It obviously depends on what's being targeted. I just want to say that I think the kind of new entrepreneurial spirit in philanthropy is by and large a good thing. A lot has come out of it. You see these charities that are now being run by former entrepreneurs, and they've got this great business sense, and they're really bringing this sort of sense of cost control and really putting money where it's most needed to charity, and I think that that's great. I actually have a friend who runs a charity called Room to Read. He's an ex-Microsoft guy, and you know, when he saw an opening starting libraries in the developing world and found that there weren't enough children's books, well, he became a children's book publisher. So you get that kind of spirit. But on the other hand, when you're dealing with really complicated problems, like childhood poverty, let's say, that can be hard to quantify. What is success? I recently sat in on a board meeting of a charity addressing that very issue, and folks were talking about how when you look at poverty, you're not always looking at just dollar figures. You're looking at things like volatility in children's lives, the fact that these family structures are often more fragile, health issues, and it's really hard when you have all those very complicated inputs to find the right metric to start with and then measure it.
Susan, speaking of the mega wealthy, there's an old saying, he who pays the piper calls the tune. Is there a danger that when someone comes in with a huge amount of money, they might, based on their own desires, change the priorities in an organization, maybe influence it too much?
There's certainly that risk. I would say that risk has been true from time immemorial. So what's interesting to me about the question of results in philanthropy, as Rana said, people want to spend money in the way that they made it. They are results-oriented. They want to see change happen. And yet what's so fascinating is how many of them find the experience of trying to make social change happen, trying to create social results. It's so much harder. So on our website, on givesmart.org, on Bridgespan's website, we've gone through interviews with about 50 donors who are in the mega wealthy category, I would say. And time after time, these experienced business leaders echo that point and say, wow, it is much easier to know whether I've made a profit or a loss this quarter than to know whether I'm moving the needle with a four-year-old about their college prospect.
with this fiscal cliff talk, if there are draconian cuts in discretionary spending, is it realistic to think that charities can pick up that slack?
Absolutely not. Just last week, I was talking with a high net worth philanthropist who said, you know what, I'm putting in $5 million a year into education in this city, and that's a fairly large chunk of money. At the same time, there's a $200 million sinkhole opening up just down the street in terms of what's happening with the state financial situation. So philanthropy can't possibly begin to match the public dollars.
Yeah, Susan, I'm interested, actually. Are you seeing, if the tax incentives to giving are removed or reduced, are you having donors say to you that they're going to change how they give or they're going to limit the amount drastically?
We've heard both, and there are certainly organizations out there like the independent sector, like the Hudson Institute, who've done pretty deep research on this and have come up with almost diametrically opposed answers on that. So as far, I don't have any independent information, but certainly there are organizations out there who are doing this research, and it's tough to say.
We've talked so far about folks with 7 or 8 or 9 figures to give, but what about those who have 2 or 3 figures to give? I mean, is there guidance that either of you can suggest about somebody who has a few hundred dollars to give to charity and how best to use that money?
Certainly there are organizations like GuideStar.org that can give folks a really good sense of what the range of charities are that they might be interested in, for example, homelessness or education reform. There are also a wide number of intermediaries like DonorsChoose.org or others that focus on specific areas like education, or Kiva focuses on global issues. So the technology explosion has been an unbelievable resource for folks, and those are a couple places to start if they're interested.
We're going to be watching those stories and all the week's financial news for that matter at WNYC.org/business. You can take this program with you as a podcast available on iTunes for no charge. I'm Jeff Greenfield. This is Money Talking from WNYC. Thank you for listening.